Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. It's the last weekend of the month of August, and as is our custom, I play a sermon preached by my father, the founder of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, and I do hope you enjoy the message that we've selected for you today, and I do hope that you will take just a few minutes to let us know you listen to the program. As we've often said, only time and eternity will reveal the people whose lives have been impacted by this radio program since 1937. So many people across the years that I've been a part of this program, even when Dad was still alive, related how this program brought them to the feet of Jesus. They came to know Christ through the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. And I'm so thankful for those kinds of testimonies. And you can help us keep this program on your radio station by sending us a gift. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. And if you would like a copy of any sermon that my dad preaches on this radio program, I'll be happy to send you a copy in CD format, or we can actually put it on a thumb drive for you. So you can write me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, and request the sermon, or just give us the date you heard a particular sermon, and I'll be sure you get that sermon as soon as possible. Don't forget to pray for me, because this weekend, the last weekend of the month of August, I am at the Evangelist Gathering at Vicksburg, Michigan, at the beautiful Nazarene campground there, and joining with my fellow evangelists as we enjoy our time of inspiration and camaraderie. It's always a great time. And then September the 10th through the 14th, I'm going to be in Marksville, Louisiana, in revival services at the First Church of the Nazarene. And then September 21 to 24, I'll travel to Lenore City, Tennessee, to the Church of the Nazarene. And then back to Indiana, September 26, 27, and 28, to Orleans, Indiana, the Church of the Nazarene. So I do covet your prayers as I'm involved in these revivals and these events during the fall of the year. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. I pray your blessing upon the sermon, the music, and this radio program and our listening audience, especially those who are sick and shut in, and this may be their only church. Bless them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget to write us. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
Celebration. Very briefly this morning, I share with you a passage of Scripture that is found in the third chapter of the book of Acts. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. 11 verses in this, the third chapter of the book of Acts. And in verse 6, you'll find a statement that is the basis for the message this morning. Just simply, "Such as I have, give I thee." Such as I have, give I thee. Most of you are familiar with the setting of this text. It took place just a little while after Pentecost. 120 followers of the Lord had experienced a mighty infusion of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit on that notable day in the long ago. Peter and John were among that 120. And those individuals went out after that experience literally to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. I've always looked at this picture and seen Peter and John as they walked up that dusty path that led by the gate Beautiful on the way to the temple. I've imagined that they've done that time and time again. There was a lame man born in that condition from his mother's womb, who was carried every day and placed by the gate Beautiful with an alms pan in his hand, hoping that passersby would put tangible means into that alms pan for the livelihood of he and his family. I've imagined that Peter and John passed him by more than one time, so caught up in the things that they were concerned about and interested in, that no doubt they ignored him time and time again. But this day, it must have been just a little different, because as they approached the gate Beautiful, the book says that this lame man asked an alms. It does not tell us that he spoke audibly. I've often wondered if maybe he just extended his alms pan in their direction, hoping to receive something from them. But when he asked an alms, the book says that Peter said to him, "Look on us." And he thought, "Sure, now I'll receive something from them." But Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He reached down, took him by the hand, lifted him up, and immediately his ankle bones received strength. And that man that had never walked a step in his life was made every whit whole. He began to leap for joy. He embraced Peter and John. He praised the Lord for the miracle that had come to his physical being. And the people standing by saw that man that was leaping and praising the Lord, embracing Peter and John, was the same man that just a little while previously sat there helplessly, had to be brought there by his family, his loved ones. But now a miracle has taken place. And as they made their way to the temple, the book says that the people stood there wondering in amazement as they stood in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. You say, Mr. Lohman, that's a tremendous miracle. But what is there about a passage of scripture like that that would be applicable to those of us in this congregation this morning? Before I'm through, I hope the Holy Spirit will help each one of us to be caught up in the wonder and the amazement of what God can do through individuals that are totally yielded without reservation to his divine will. Here two men had experienced the mighty outpouring of the Spirit in that upper room. They were a part of that new beginning, and they determined that they were going to share with others what had happened to them in that upper room experience. I'm convinced that those of us in the holiness persuasion this morning have something that we ought to be sharing with struggling souls along the way. I don't suppose that too many of us see anyone sitting by the roadside with an alms pan anymore, begging alms. I think the last one that I saw was when I was in the district camp meeting of the Church of the Nazarene in Jackson, Mississippi, some years ago. Went to the post office one morning. Man sitting there, his limbs were gone, but he had an alms pan and seeking to sell pencils. I didn't need his pencil, but I couldn't pass him by. And I shared with him some of that God had blessed me with. But why we may not see many people in Antioch and Nashville sitting by the roadside begging alms that are physically lame. There are a lot of people in your community, a lot of people in this great city that are blind spiritually, that are lame spiritually, and God doesn't have anyone to help them. But you and me, those of us that have experienced the best thing that can come to a person this side, the glory, the awareness of the presence and the power of our wonderful Lord. But you say, Mr. Lohman, what is it that we have to share? Here these men said to this man, silver and gold have I none, tangible means I don't have, but what I do have, such as I have, give I thee. And you and I do have something that we ought to be sharing. Three simple things this morning that every one of us ought to share with some struggling soul along the way of life. And we cannot excuse ourselves, because this business of sharing, contributing, being a part of the building of the church and the kingdom is not designated or delegated just to a few special people. Every person that's known the blessing of sins forgiven, every person that's been sanctified by the power of God has this that they can share. Three simple things. First of all, we ought to share the beauty of the Spirit-filled life with those around about us. And you'll recall on one occasion that the Apostle Paul stated, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is a command, and yet it is a privilege. And while you may not have much education, you may not have excelled in the field of intellectual heights, and you may never have climbed high on the ladder of intellectual achievement, yet, my friend, the most insignificant individual in this congregation this morning. In fact, you may never have seen the old blueback speller. And you may never saw, and I'm sure most of you didn't, McGuffey's reader. Some of you older adults may not know too much about the difference between a noun and a pronoun, an adjective or an adverb. But if you've been to the cross, if you've been to Calvary, if the Holy Spirit abides, you know something about that that you ought to be sharing with someone else. Jesus stood up in the midst of them on that last great day of the feast in John 7 and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his inmost part shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, Jesus was not yet crucified. And my friend, today, the beauty of the Spirit-filled life. I remember well reading of Amanda Smith, the greatest black woman preacher that ever lived. She said, the time came in my life that I had an inner hunger such as I'd never known before. And they were having preachers meeting in Convention Hall in Philadelphia. She said, I went to the meeting hoping somebody might be able to help me to find that inner peace that I needed, or give me instruction in that regard. And she said, the first person I saw was the bishop of the church. And the bishop said to me, Amanda, your countenance is heavy. You seem to be depressed. What's wrong? She said, sir, I've got an inner hunger for that power and that presence of the Spirit for my life. And the bishop said, Amanda, be careful. You might go over the deep end. You might go too far. There's a possibility of just going overboard about this business of an inner relationship with God. Don't be too concerned about it. She said, I received no help from the bishop of the church. The next person I saw was the district superintendent, and he, like the bishop, forewarned me that there was a possibility of going too far religiously and spiritually. She said, I walked down the long aisle of Convention Hall. Sitting on the very back seat was a little black woman. Calico apron, gingham's dress, a bonnet pulled down over her face. And she put out that black hand and touched mine. She said, Sister Amanda, is there something troubling you? She said, I got a hunger like I've never known before. She said, well, he's able to satisfy that hunger, and I'll be glad to pray with you if you'll allow me to. And Amanda Smith said, I followed her down a back alleyway to a little one-room shack. No modern conveniences, a single bed, a coal oil lamp, a two-burner stove, and a few gallons of goods sitting on the shelf. And she said, Sister Smith, kneel down there, and we're going to talk to the Lord about this inner need that you have. And Amanda Smith said, that little woman that had never made a dime in her life except scrubbing clothes for somebody else on an old-fashioned scrub board began to pray for me. And she walked into the throne room and touched God in my behalf. And I felt the moving of the Spirit in my heart. And there in that little one-room shack, that little woman who had not any of this world's goods, tangible means, if you please, she could truthfully say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And my friend, I don't know what you might be able to contribute to someone else, but you can contribute the beauty of the Spirit-filled life. Not only should we share the beauty of the Spirit-filled life, but we ought to be sharing the beauty of the Spirit-led life. For this book says, and it's not optional, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I think one of the greatest thrills I had, and I'm in my 50th year in the ministry, I think one of the greatest thrills that I have, ladies and gentlemen, is to have him say to me, this is the way, walk in it. And give me divine instruction and divine guidance. And you see, neither of you this morning should ever have to wonder which way to go, because the book says that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth. And the respect that I have with many of you that I do know in this place and all over this nation, and have the honor and privilege to preach with the greatest preachers in the Nazarene Church and in other denominations. Yet, beloved, I don't have to go and ask them what's right and what's wrong, what I can do and what I can't do, where I can go and where I can't go. I can ask him, and the book says that he'll guide me. And my friend, the beauty of that spiritual direction that we can share with someone else. You may have read the story in Reader's Digest or in Guidepost. A man and his wife and a little boy were going for an evening outing to the Cumberland National Forest some years ago. She packed a picnic basket. They reached the place where they had planned to go, and they encountered some other friends, and the husband got into conversation with these friends, and the little boy had wandered over to the playground where the swings and sandboxes were. And the man's wife was busily in the process of putting out the evening meal. And when she had everything ready, she said to her husband, "You can get Wessie. Everything's ready." And he went over in the play area, but Wessie wasn't there. He went back and told his wife that the little boy had wandered off, and he inquired if anyone had seen him. And apparently no one had seen that little fella. And beloved, they sent out an alarm. They got everybody they could to begin searching for that little boy. The evening shadows are beginning to fall. Night will soon settle. And the little mother was almost hysterical as she put that food back into the basket. They notified the sheriff's department, put it on the radio, "Little boy lost in the Cumberland National Forest." Beloved, a man said, "I was riding down the interstate with my wife and little boy. I didn't say a word, but I looked down at my little fella, and I thought to myself, if that was my little boy up there, I'd appreciate somebody helping me find him." And he said, "I was in a position to assist. I went to the National Guard Armory, got on the radio, called all the men in my company, had them to come as soon as possible. And we got all of our search equipment together, walkie-talkies and high-powered auxiliary batteries and lamps and the jeeps and everything we needed, and went to the search area. Until the midnight hour, we searched and searched, but to no avail." And he said, "I was worn out. I went home. I got some coffee and lay down across the bed. Didn't intend to go to sleep. But," he said, "lying there across that bed, I cried out from my soul, 'Lord, you know where that little boy is.' I remembered the night that Jesus saved me," he said. "And I've cried out, you know where that little boy is. When I get back up there, help me find him." He said, "I went back to the search area. Two state patrolmen on a jeep. We started down a makeshift road. And we hadn't gone an eighth of a mile till a voice spoke to me and said, 'Right here.' And he said, I stopped that jeep and I said, 'Did either of you speak to me?' They said, 'No one's spoken to you.' Oh," he said, "yes, yes, there was. Voice spoke so clear. Oh, they said, 'You've had an illusion. You're just imagining things. You're tired. You're worn out. No one spoke to you.' And they almost convinced me that no one had spoken. And I started to turn the key and start the motor. And that voice said, 'Right here.' He said, I stepped out of that jeep and stepped across that makeshift road. And I thought, if I called the little fella's name, if he was in that area, he might be in a position to answer me. And he said, I cupped my hands and I said, 'Wessie?' And he said, for a moment there was deathly silence. And then less than 25 feet from where I was standing came the cry of that little boy. I went into those honeysuckle bushes, picked him up, had a patrolman drive me down that mountain, and I presented that little boy into the arms of his mother. And he said, I thank God every day that I've lived since then. Then I knew what it was to share the beauty of the Spirit-led life. And oh, beloved, in these days, if we could just get each of us, the preacher, the pastor, and every one of you so caught up in this business, beloved, of sharing. Some things you may not have. Some things you may feel inadequate for. But I repeat, if you've been to Calvary, if the blood's been applied, if Jesus Christ is real to you and the Holy Spirit possesses every fiber of your being, you can share the beauty of the Spirit-led life. But last of all, and it's very simple, you ought to be sharing the beauty of the Spirit-empowered life. You remember that Jesus said one day, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. This morning, friend, I want you to know that you and I can share the beauty of that Spirit-empowered life. And I'm not going to leave the impression this morning, beloved, that you might be able to accomplish some things that other people accomplish. But if you know what it is, to experience that inner power that He alone is able to give, it gives to you a knowledge that there are some folks that you can share with. It gives to you an awareness that there is that you can contribute.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.